And again, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here this morning. Am I on? You can hear me? Okay, I just want to make sure. I wasn't sure if you could hear me. Up here didn't sound as loud. But excited to be here this morning. Drove from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Who's ever been to Altoona before? Yeah, okay. You guys have been to Altoona. I went to a school called Blair County Christian School. Who's ever heard of Blair County Christian School? Who's ever played against Blair County Christian School before? Okay, I know there's some Center County folks here. I'm close friends with Ryan and Christy from Center County, Ryan and Christy Smith. We actually were at Port Matilda with Ryan and Christy a long time ago, it feels like. But we're excited to be able to be back in this area. We're staying at a missionary house at a church in Altoona. It's Faith Baptist Church in Altoona. Stay at a missionary house there. We're just in town for a little bit, but just excited to come. I love this area. We love this area. When you live in Las Vegas, it's so nice to come to some green places, okay? Some places that have some green stuff. And so we're excited to be able to come here and share. We're here for just a little while. We were supposed to leave on Wednesday morning, but we had a cancellation. We're starting to work with the government of Tennessee, trying to help them with their fatherless issue. And I was supposed to have a meeting with the senior advisor to the governor on Thursday of Tennessee. And then I get notified that they told me that he had to travel with the governor all day. I'm like, you're really going to cancel on me for the governor of Tennessee? Are you serious right now? I'm just kidding. I didn't say anything back. But that kind of allowed us to stay a little bit longer in Pennsylvania. So we're excited to be able to be here for a little bit longer. We love Pennsylvania. We love this state. This is my hometown. When you're from here and you leave and come, and you realize how amazing you have it here. It's the seasons here are just incredible. You get to have all these things. You know that there's an end to summer. But for some reason, God's allowed me to be in Florida and Nevada. And there's not really an end to summer in those places. You know what I mean? Maybe that's short. Little bit of time. Nevada's better than Florida, but it's just a little different. But again, I just can't express enough how much I love Pennsylvania. I love this area. So just so excited to be here. Becky Heckathorn, she was one of our teachers. She was from here, right? Becky Heckathorn, Becky Gravely now. You guys don't know, who knows who Becky is? Yeah, she was a fifth grade teacher at Blair County Christian School when I was there. So she was one of the connections I had to this church. I knew of her growing. I think she grew up here, right? Did she grow up here? Okay, I was just so excited to be here and excited to be able to. I think I spoke at an event probably about 12 years ago at an XYZ event. So maybe, were any of you there for that? Do you remember that? Anybody remember for that? Okay, none of you remember. Okay, that's fine. So that's good. We're doing the same message today. Anyway, just kidding. But maybe we are. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I think maybe it was. I'm not sure. But Luke chapter 10. Read your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, just again, we're so thankful that God brought us here this morning. I thank you for Pastor Shipe and his willingness to bring us in, to speak about this issue. You know, there's so many churches that talk about this issue, but there's a lot of churches that don't want to talk about the issue of fatherlessness. And so we're thankful for churches that are willing to shine a light on this issue because it's an epidemic in our nation. And we're going to talk about that this morning and talk about how it's affecting every single person in the United States of America. Before I dive into our message this morning, I want to tell you really what we do through our ministry, the five different things that we focus on. We started this ministry in 2008. It started off by writing a book for fatherless guys. I thought that was going to be what we were going to do, just write a book and we were done. But God led us to start a whole ministry for fatherless families. For single moms, for grandparents raising grandkids. And we didn't realize that's what it was going to be. And that's how God works a lot of times. You think you're just doing one thing, and he's like, no, you're going to keep doing this. And so now we're over 14 years we've been working on this ministry and developing it. And we've seen how God has had us develop this over the last 14 years. And five things that he has us focusing on right now. The first thing is spreading awareness. Spreading awareness about this issue. Like I said, it's an epidemic, and we help people understand what's going on with it. It's something that affects all of us in the United States of America. We spread awareness about it, helping people know what's going on. We're going to talk about that this morning. We do it digitally. We do it through churches. We've been probably in over 200 churches across the United States talking about the issue of fatherlessness, helping people understand what's going on with it. We also create unique resources. You'll see on our table, we have books we've written for fatherless guys, for fatherless girls, for single moms. We have books for children, for fatherless children, for motherless children, and for orphan and foster care children. We also have a God is My Dad mobile app and website, godismydad.com. On there, we have videos from different Christian leaders. Who's ever heard of Stephen Kendrick, producer of War Room, Courageous, Facing the Giants, those movies there? He's on there. We have a former NFL quarterback on there. We have different pastors and ministry leaders on there. And we're about to add a ton more content to that. But that mobile app is in the Apple and Google Play Store. You can find that mobile app, or you can go to godismydad.com. If you do nothing else after today, I want to encourage you to just grab some of our God is My Dad cards and give them out to people that can use them, fatherless families that are around you, and hand them to them and say, here, here's a resource for you. We also have tracts that say a message for the fatherless on it. And you can take those tracts and give them out to people that can use them. And it walks through how God will be their heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And so we have unique resources like that. We have books for sale back there. We have the Square Reader if you need to purchase them that way. But we just want to get them into your hands or get them into people's hands that you know that you can give resources out to. The cards are free. Take the cards. The mobile app is free. It has all kinds of content on there. There's sections on the mobile app that say fatherless. And then there's a single mom section, and then there's a grandparent raising grandkids section. And if that's you in one of those categories, you can find hope and resources for your journey on that. We've been developing God is My Dad since 2017. It's a resource we added to our ministry. And so we're just excited to provide that to people that need it. And so if you need that resource, or if you know of somebody that needs it, we also have posters too that you can take and hang up in different places, Boys and Girls Clubs, or at a library, or wherever you can get it in, and just hang it up and let people know that there's a free resource for them to help them on their journey. Our children's books walk them through why it's not their fault, and that God loves them, and that there's hope in their situation in an encouraging and fun way. And so there's resources there to help you. If you'd like to get on our email list, I would love for you to join with us. You can either sign up on the clipboard in the foyer, or you do it the old school way, sign up in the clipboard. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. Or you can text the number 66866, the word dad, okay? Not 666. We're not that kind of ministry, okay? Understand? I got some of you on that. Now, text the word dad to 66866, and you can sign up for our email list, and we'll stay in touch with you, and we'll be able to be involved. We do a lot of digital stuff with our ministry, and we're really just getting started. We're going to be adding a bunch more stuff to that. We have a YouTube channel, God is My Dad YouTube channel. I encourage you to subscribe. We have Instagram, we're Facebook. We have TikTok. We're working on getting that going, but we're just doing all kinds of different social media, technology, things like that, and we're just diving into all those things. We're kids are trying to help them and reach them and encourage them. So we create unique resources. We also go and speak, and we've done public school assemblies. We do go to youth detention centers, all kinds of different places to help the fatherless. Our public school assembly, when I speak on forgiveness and forgiving my dad, you can hear a pin drop in a gymnasium of 800 middle school students, public school middle school students, because this issue is affecting so many kids. And so we go and speak in different places. We also partner with local churches. We are missionaries, and so we partner with local churches, give them resources to help them as they minister to the fatherless locally, give them discipleship tools, evangelistic tools to help them as they work with these families, to help these families out. These families are everywhere. They're really just crying out for help, and they want to be helped and encouraged. And then the last thing is we're establishing local God is My Dad chapters. And that is something that we started in January. We just moved out to Las Vegas in December. It's a new thing for us. We were traveling the country for 3 years. We actually were in an RV traveling around the country for 2 years. Then our RV broke, and so we were traveling around missionary houses and all these different things. And so it was a crazy, incredible, fun, exciting, hard journey for 3 years on the road. But then God directed us to Las Vegas to base ourselves there, to still do our national ministry, but also go there. And we'll be going back there in about a week and a half. We'll be there for several months, and then we just kind of base ourselves there and work with the fatherless in Las Vegas as we do our national ministry too. And we're setting up a chapter there of God is My Dad chapter to basically set up a lighthouse in Las Vegas saying, hey, we're here for you. There's somebody here that cares about the single moms, the grandparents raising grandkids, the fatherless. We direct them to resources. We direct them to churches that care about them. We help them as they work through the different issues they're facing. And the goal is to set up a model that we can take to other cities across the United States. We're going to be going to Tennessee here in about Oh, actually, on Saturday, we're heading to Tennessee, and there's a church down there that wants to set up another chapter in Tennessee. And so we're working with a church there to help them as they set up a chapter. So just pray for us as we do these things, as we seek the Lord's direction in reaching the fatherless of our nation. As you see on the news, many things are coming from this issue of fatherlessness. You see all kinds of stuff, and I'm going to share some statistics with you to help you understand and connect the dots of what's going on with these issues. But turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be based out of. And you already read the passage there, Luke chapter 10. But let me point out a couple of verses just real quick out of this passage, and then we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll dive into the message this morning. But Luke chapter 10, in verse 30, we see a man here. It says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. You know, this man had been robbed, wounded, abandoned, and left to die. And it's very likened to the fatherless today, the motherless, the single moms, the single dads. They've been robbed, a lot of times wounded, abandoned, and left to live a life of destruction. And if you're in here this morning, you're from a fatherless family, understand that we're here to proclaim truth, because there's truth in this situation. There's hope in this situation. We're here to proclaim hope to help you as you face this situation. We're also here to proclaim, you know, help. And you can be involved in helping these different families. And we're going to walk through this story today and talk about how we all can be involved. If you're interested in our ministry, we'd love to see you at the table after and be able to discuss with you more how you can get involved or how you can get helped with the issue of fatherlessness. But thank you so much for having us today. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us here this morning. I believe it was ordained by you. I pray that you'd please speak to me now, rid me of myself. I pray that it be from you. I pray you'd help us to honor you now. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day. Please speak to all of our hearts today, how we can reach the people around us. Please guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we're excited to talk to you about this issue. Like I said, it's an epidemic in our nation. There's over 30 million fatherless in the United States alone. How do we address this issue? And the thing is, we can't get overwhelmed by these numbers. We can't get overwhelmed by statistics. We have to look around us in what I call the circle of influence, okay? We all have a circle of influence where we have people that God has strategically placed in our lives. They're there for a reason. Sometimes we see people in our circle of influence, we think, why are they there? No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes we see them, and we're like, you know, God brought us to them. He brought them to us, and he has them in our circle, and he wants us to help them. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody that you have in your family. It's an extended relative. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a grandchild or somebody that's around you, a neighbor that you live by, coworker, a single mom you work with, or a grandparent raising grandkids down the road, or that fatherless kid that's in your family that you know that they're struggling. God has placed them in your life, and you know about them for a reason. I want to ask you, will you help them today? Or maybe the Holy Spirit's going to lead you differently today, and he's going to guide you to reach somebody that I'm not even talking about, that has nothing to do with the fatherless issue. I want to encourage you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, but this morning, I want to give you three steps that every Christian can take to reach the fatherless or hurting in your circle of influence. Three steps that we can take. The first thing is, and it's found in this passage here, the first thing is, we must reject apathy. Reject apathy. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, what's apathy? I thought the same thing. I was in eighth grade, and my eighth grade teacher came to me and he said, Sean, I need to talk to you. I was one of those kids that was always getting in trouble. Anybody ever have that where you're in school and you got in trouble? Be honest with me. Come on, I wonder who my people are. Come on, be honest with me. Okay, I see your hands. Thank you for being honest. You used to get in trouble. You're like, Sean, that was so long ago, I can't even remember. Some of us got in trouble in school. We're not proud of it, but we got in trouble in school, and it happened. Well, this one day, this teacher said, Sean, he said, I need to talk to you. He said, you have been apathetic. He's talking about eighth grade science. And I honestly, I looked at him, and I said, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? I never even heard that word in my life. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it meant to be apathetic. And he said, that means you don't care, and you don't care that you don't care, and that's sin. I said, that's pretty heavy for eighth grade science, right? I'm just kidding. I didn't say that to him. But I remember hearing that day, and I carried that with me through my whole life so far. I'm talking to you about it today, okay? So as a teacher, if you're a teacher, understand that the stuff you're saying to your kids, sometimes they might not get the subject, but they're getting the principles, okay? They're getting some of the things that you're... And so I picked up that day what apathy meant. And apathy is something that I believe every human being struggles with at one time or another. We have things in our lives that we should care about. But we don't care. We don't care that we don't care. And it's sin. And a lot of times, we have these issues of fatherlessness. People around us that God has... Or people that are hurting that God has placed into our lives. And sometimes we just turn a blind eye to it. You look at this passage here. Verse 31. This is a man that was struggling with apathy. It says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This priest had apathy. He said, I don't care. I don't care that I don't care. And it was sin, and he walked right by. Jesus gave us this illustration in this passage. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The Levite looked at him. He said, I don't care. I don't care that I don't care. And it was sin, and he walked right by. I want to ask you, who's in your life that you need to care more about, that you've seen? Maybe it's time to reject apathy and say, I'm going to do something about helping this person around me. Maybe I need to help this person that's struggling. I'm so thankful that we have verse 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan man said, no. He said, I'm not going to be apathetic. I'm going to care. I'm going to do something. And I want to ask you, will you reject apathy like the Samaritan man? Jesus is giving us this example to help us understand we need to not be like the priest and the Levite. The two that should have helped, two very sad verses, they should have helped, they should have been involved, but the Samaritan man, the least likely one to help, is the one that helped. And he was willing to get involved and willing to help and be involved in the situation. And if we would have the church stand up and say, I'm going to address this issue of fatherlessness around me. I'm going to start letting secular organizations handle this situation for us. We're seeing the results from that, of letting secular organizations handle the fatherless. We're seeing what they're doing with them, how they're helping them, what kind of lifestyles they're pushing them to. We as Christians should stand up and say, no, I'm going to be the one to be the hands and feet of Jesus in their life. There's statistics out there that show us that fatherlessness is affecting all of us. Some of the statistics are very shocking. Before I share them, understand if you are from a fatherless home or you're a single mom or a grandparent raising grandkids or a single dad or a motherless individual, understand that you don't have to go down the same path. This is what's going on when they don't have Jesus Christ in their life and they don't accept God's hope in their life, when they don't accept God as their Heavenly Father and let God father their life. 85% of youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. Now, that's an issue with crime. You're seeing crime in your neighborhoods and different places. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. You know, there was a statistic out there, and I'm working through it. I've heard recently, like, maybe it's not as accurate as they said, but it said that 27 of the 27 deadliest mass shooters, 26 of them were fatherless. And I need to work on that one. But there was many mass shooters, and even the one in Uvalde, Texas, recently, the young man was fatherless. His mom was a drug addict. He moved in with his grandparents, and then he went and shot up a school. And you can't excuse what he did. His behavior was horrible, and he got what he deserved. But imagine if he had a Christian mentor come into his life. Imagine the difference it could have made, the lives that could have been spared. The Las Vegas shooter that shot up from the casino, he shot down. He was a fatherless individual, and he was young. And we're not excusing that, his behavior. It was a terrible thing that he did, but he was fatherless too growing up. Many situations, many circumstances where they were fatherless. Why did they commit these crimes? Why did they do these things? Because they're angry. And young men, they need to have a dad in their life or a male in their life or someone in their life, a Christian in their life, to teach them how to respect themselves, how to be a respectable person in society, how to respect a lady, how to respect others. And when they don't have that, they end up learning it from the world. And we see the results from it. We see what's going on in our country. And if we would rise up as Christians and reject apathy and say, I'm going to help these kids, imagine the people's lives that could be changed. Issues such as homosexuality. Now, understand homosexuality can come from a variety of different things. It could come from an abusive situation when they were growing up, or they got around the wrong friends, or whatever it might be. But one of the things is the influence of a dad in their life. is one of the ways that they could go into that lifestyle. Dr. Joseph Nicolosi was a guy who was a psychologist in California. His practice was helping homosexuals become heterosexual again. They would go to him and say, I don't want to have these feelings anymore. And they're like, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to have this in my life. And he would work with them. And he said, I've worked with thousands of homosexuals. I've never seen a homosexual who had a loving, respectful relationship with his father. This guy was well known. He's on Oprah, very well known guy whenever he had his practice and he was living. He worked with these individuals. He said they didn't have a loving, respectful relationship with their father. Another guy, P.L. Adams, says boys who grew up in father-absent homes are more likely than those in father-present homes to have trouble establishing appropriate sexuals and gender identity because they don't have a dad there to teach them how to be a man. They need somebody to teach them, to help them. Teen pregnancy. That's an issue right now, isn't it? Teen pregnancy. We see all these issues with the pregnancy centers and everything going on across our country. We're actually going to a CareNet national conference. We're going to be exhibiting at it in Phoenix, Arizona in a couple weeks. We're going to be there because this issue of single moms is a big issue. Obviously, it was way before that, but now the Roe versus Wade issue and everything going on, there's a lot more single moms. There are going to be a lot more single moms now. And so what do we do with these single moms? Well, we help them. We be the church. We stand up and minister to them and encourage them. 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. Some people try to tell us when we first started this ministry 14 years ago, they'd say, well, we don't have those families in our neighborhood. That's a certain race. That's a certain economic background. That's on the different side of the train tracks. Look at this study. A white teenage girl from an advantaged background is 5 times more likely to become a teen mother if she grows up in a single mother household than if she grows up in a household with both biological parents. Why does this matter? Why does it matter so much? Why does a dad matter so much to a young girl? Because dads provide security. And when a girl doesn't have that dad in her life to provide security, she looks for it in other places. Dads teach their girls, I love you, you're beautiful, I care about you. You're valued, you're worthy, you're worth something. And when they don't have that, they find it somewhere else. The church can be the one where they can find it, the place they can find that. Will we, though? Will we stand up and be like the Samaritan and say, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to help this girl. I'm going to help this boy so they don't have to be robbed, wounded, abandoned, and left to die, right? Are you with me? We need to help these families. Help them as they're going down this journey, down this path. Reject apathy and say, you know what? I know I'm busy, but maybe I could do this. I'm not telling you to do everything or reach every kid. Is there one kid you could help? Is there one single mom you could help? Is there one grandparent raising grandkids? One single dad? One motherless individual you could help? Is there one person you could invest in? Is there a little bit of time each month that you could spend with them? Is there something you could do? Maybe you could write them a letter or call them or text them. Is there something you can do with modern technology to spend time with them? We're about to get into a lot of digital mentoring with our ministry. Because one of the things that we hear when we go to churches, I'm just going to be honest with you, we've been to over 200 churches. One of the main things single moms tell us, they say, I tried to find a mentor in the church for my kid, but nobody wants to spend time with them. And so we want the church to be the place. They find it. But if they can't find it, what are they going to do? They need to find hope. And so we're going to help them, try to help them find a church where they can find that hope. And we're going to provide digital mentoring in the meantime. And try to help them as they develop and do what God's called them to do and grow through this issue. Education. In studies involving over 25,000 children using national representative data sets, children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. Why does this matter? Because if they don't do good in school, they might not get a job and they might rely on your tax dollars, okay? So it's affecting you in one way or another with crime, with teen pregnancies, with all the different things that are going on in our country. The morals of our country are kind of going down. A lot of it's driven by fatherlessness. We see issues such as suicide. Now, this is pre-COVID. Understand that the suicide issue, the statistics have changed because of COVID with all the different things that went on. But 3 out of 4 teenage suicides occur in a household where a parent has been absent. 3 out of 4, because mom or dad wasn't there. And then the last one was from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse, mental illness, suicide, poor education performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality. Notice it says mental illness in there. Mental illness. Sometimes they just need somebody to say, hey, I believe in you. I care about you and I love you. Sometimes that's all the medication they need. Sometimes there is a chemical imbalance and they need medication. Sometimes they do. But sometimes they just need somebody to believe in them, to love them and care about them. And that's enough medication for them. Imagine the difference we can make in this. This is from 1993. You don't see a lot of these statistics coming out from the government anymore. They don't publicize them like they used to because they have a grip on the hearts of the fathers and they know it. And so they don't want to share what's going on with this issue. Similar to the definition of a recession. Right? You know what I'm saying? They're changing a lot of things. They're hiding things from us. And they're changing a lot of the stuff that's going on. They don't want us to know about the fatherless issue as much as they used to. They're like, wow, we got a grip on those people. Let's keep them. And our job as a church is to say, no, we're going to help them. And we're going to help them find God. We're going to help them in the situation they're in. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, Sean, thanks a lot. I came here this morning, and I was excited to come to church. I wanted to be encouraged, and I'm excited. The worship music was great, and I was ready to just learn about God, and now you got me stressed and depressed. Maybe that's what you're thinking this morning. That's not why I'm here, to make you stressed and depressed. I understand, okay? I'm not here to make you stressed and depressed. I'm here to show hope and encourage you that there's something we can do about the number one issue in our country. It's by following this passage of Scripture and saying, okay, what can we do? What did the Samaritan man do? The Samaritan man rejected apathy. We see in the end of verse 33, the second part is where he remit compassion. He let compassion, he gave compassion out. He let compassion flow through his life. It says in the last part of verse 33, it says he had compassion on him. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have compassion? Will you let compassion flow through your life out to this lost and dying world? That's what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to have compassion on the people around us. He wants us to help them and encourage them. Who's the ultimate picture of compassion? Who is it? Jesus, right? Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. He had joy to endure the cross for us. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, right? That should get us excited. That should give us joy, right? Wow, Jesus loved us so much that he had joy to die on the cross for us. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, John 3:16 tells us. He loved us so much. That should get us excited. God loved us so much. If you're in here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Will you accept God's compassion and love in your life this morning? I was at Port Matilda. We went there, a few years ago. It was actually, we moved there end of 2009. The time was a little off, Pastor Shaw. I'm sorry, but end of 2009, we moved there. 2010, we were there. I kind of took the youth group over. We were volunteering there as a volunteer youth director, just there to help out. We were doing our ministry. And I took the youth group over. And when I did, the guy that was running the youth group, I asked him to share his testimony. He had grown up in the church. He was, he'd been there for a while. And I said, would you share your testimony with the youth group? He said, well, I just have always gone to church. And I had to recover from that because he had been going to Port Matilda Baptist Church his whole life. But he never understood that the Bible says what it means to be saved. Just by coming to this church, and these church walls cannot save you. Coming and sitting in a pew cannot save you. It's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you got to realize that Jesus died on the cross for you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realize you're a sinner. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You got to understand that your sin's going to lead you to hell. That there's a rescue plan there, that God gave you a rescue plan. He wants to save you from an eternity in hell. But you got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never realize you're a sinner, realize your sins are going to lead you to hell, believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you've never done that before, make that decision this morning. Accept God's compassion in your life. Now, if you have made that decision, I want to ask you, how's it going? How's it going this morning? Are you still walking with God? Because, yeah, good, that's great. Because we can get stagnant in our faith sometimes, can't we? Sometimes it happens when we get stagnant in our faith. We don't want to witness. We don't want to read our Bible. We don't want to pray. Sometimes we get stagnant in our faith, and we have to have those reality check times where it's like, hey, I need to wake up. I need to do what God wants me to do. Sometimes we get stagnant in our faith so much where we're like Spider-Man. You're like, this guy's talking about Spider-Man? Yeah, I was in youth ministry for a long time, okay? Spider-Man. Who's ever heard of Spider-Man before? Spider-Man, you're like, Spider-Man? Yeah, Pastor Scheib brought me in and talked to him about it. But anyways, Spider-Man got bit by what? A spider, okay? Now, just real quick illustration. Bear with me on this. Spider-Man got bit by a spider, and because he got bit by a spider, he's able to shoot what? Contrary to some beliefs, some people say, well, technically he couldn't, but whoever designed that part of the story, they need to be thrown out, okay? He was able to shoot webs. He's a spider, okay? I'm not that into it, so if you have a problem with what I say about Spider-Man, talk to Pastor Shipe about it after. Don't talk to me. I don't really care that much about it, to be honest with you. But Spider-Man got bit by a spider. He's able to shoot webs. Now, picture this just real quick, okay? Picture he goes home. He sits in his living room, and he's just enjoying the fact that he has superpowers now. He's like, this is great. And so he turns a Batman movie on. Now, I know I just crossed universes there, okay? Understand that. Talk to Pastor Shipe about it. It's not my problem. But he's sitting there watching a Batman movie. He's getting some pointers from Batman. Then he thinks to himself, he's like, man, you know what? I could really use a soda or a pop. You call it pop here? That's what we did in Altoona. We call it pop. Do you guys call it pop here? Okay, good. I wasn't sure if Bellefonte did pop or not, or if you guys were, you know, too influenced by New York. I'm not sure, but we called it pop in Altoona. I don't know. Who calls it pop? Raise your hand. I'm calling it pop because I'm from Altoona. That's what we call it there. Anyways, and so I went to Florida. They called it soda. I'm so confused now. But anyways, I'm calling it pop because I'm back in Pennsylvania. And so he's sitting there. He wants a pop. So he shoots a web to the refrigerator, opens the refrigerator, shoots another web, pulls out a pop. He's sitting there drinking a pop, just relaxing. He thinks to himself, he's like, I'd never have to stand up again the rest of my life because I'm Spider-Man now and I have these powers and this is great. And he's watching Batman and he thinks, man, I'm better than him. That's what he thinks. He's like, I'm a better superhero. I actually have real superpowers. That's what he thinks. You know, that's Spider-Man's opinion. And he thinks that. And so he turns the TV off. He goes out to his backyard. And he's like, I've never been able to dunk a basketball before. And so he shoots a web up to the backboard, pulls himself up, he dunks the ball. What a horrible Spider-Man movie that would be, right? Are you with me? Because why? Because Spider-Man's supposed to be doing what? Good stuff, right? What's the good stuff? He's supposed to be doing what? Saving people and helping people. Instead, Spider-Man's keeping the powers to himself. And that's the same thing with us as Christians. I know it's a cheesy illustration, but it's the same thing with us as Christians. We trust in Jesus as our Savior. We get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And then we just kind of put it on a shelf. And I want to ask you, this week, will you change that? If that's the way you've been living, will you change that? Will you start taking the powers that God's filled you with and going into this world and being the light and hands and feet of Jesus, just like this man was, this Samaritan man, he went and he was the hands and feet of Jesus to this person that had been robbed, wounded, abandoned, and left to die? Will you help and do something with the people around you that are hurting? Maybe you're still thinking to yourself, well, why should I care for the fatherless? Because the Bible talks about the fatherless, and I'm not going to share all of them this morning, but look at a couple of verses with me. Psalm 68:5 says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. He's a father to the fatherless. Do you think he cares about them? But how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? How are they going to be discipled if we don't teach them about him? Psalm 146:9, it tells us the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. He wants to give them relief, but he's designed for us to be the ones to tell them about him. Designed for us to be the ones to take them to him, to guide them to him. And they can find relief, but we have to do our job as Christians. Each of us, not just the pastor, not just the deacons and people in the church. It's for every single Christian to be involved in reaching the ones around us. Will you do it? James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This right here has the answer to the number one problem in our country, the number one social issue in our nation. It says, in the right in the middle there, look at the two words, to visit. If each of us would go and visit the fatherless person that's in our circle of influence, somehow, even if it's digitally, if they live across the country, if we would visit them, the difference we can make in our nation would be amazing. If every Christian would do this, if they would practice pure religion and undefiled, means they're not doing it for the wrong reasons, before God and the Father, means you're doing it in front of God, to visit them. To visit them means to look upon in order to help or to benefit. You're visiting them. You're spending time with them. The fatherless or motherless or both. It could be a foster care, orphan child, whatever it might be. But you're spending time with them. And widows. If you look at up the root of that, it's talking about a woman who's lost her husband due to death or abandonment. A lot of times it's a single mom. Spending time with these people in their affliction, it says. They're facing affliction, we saw in the statistics. This is the answer right here, to help them and do something about it. Will you be part of that today? Will you help them and get involved in their life? So we got to reject apathy. Second thing is we got to remit compassion. But we can't stop there, okay? We can't stop there. We can't just say, oh, I don't travel around the country speaking on this issue for you to say, oh, these poor little fatherless kids, what's for lunch? You know what I mean? That's not why we do this. It would be a waste of my time for me to travel all the way from Las Vegas to here for you to say that. You know, we need to be involved in doing something and helping these people out. You know, did you ever see that commercial on TV where the dogs are crying? Did you ever see that commercial on TV where the dogs are crying, where the lady's singing in the eyes of an angel? Did you ever see that? Come on, be honest with me. You've seen it before. You know what I'm talking about. The dogs are crying, they're malnourished, and you turn the channel really fast. You've seen that, right? You're like, what's on the other channel? Because you should never hurt dogs. We should take care of dogs. But you're like, I give money to the church or Christian ministries and stuff like that. I'm involved in that stuff. Well, and we see that, but I'm not here to represent dogs. Again, we should take care of animals. But I'm not here to represent dogs. I'm talking about human beings. Don't turn the channel on me. We're almost done. Don't turn the channel. If you came here this morning, you heard all these statistics, all these scriptures, and you did nothing, you'd be like one of those movies you watch. Do you ever watch a movie that just ends? Do you ever see a movie that just ends? Who hates movies like that? Raise your hand. When you're watching this movie, it's a battle scene. You're like, yeah, come on, win. You're like, yes, I'm into this movie. And then the credits roll, and you're like, who made this movie? Nobody won? There's a tie? Who wants to watch a movie with a tie at the end, right? You're kidding me right now? Or at the end of the movie, they're falling in love for 2 hours. You're watching this movie, they're falling off 2 hours. At the end of the movie, they're still friends? You're like, who wrote this movie right now? Who hates movies like that? Raise your hand. Complete opposite from every Hallmark movie ever made, okay? Who's ever seen a Hallmark movie? They're all the same, okay? A guy or a girl goes to a small town. They're dating that big city boyfriend or girlfriend attorney, aren't they? Then they go to that small town and they see that country boy or country girl and they think, I don't like you. I hate you, right? That's what they think at the beginning. But then they have to save a cafe or save a factory, don't they? Don't every single one. You don't talk. You guys know what I mean. You've seen it. And they have to save this thing at the end. But by the end of the movie, they dump that big city boyfriend or girlfriend attorney. They fall in love with that country boy or country girl. They're like, hey. And they save that cafe or save that factory. Every Hallmark movie ever made. I hate Hallmark movies. Who hates Hallmark movies? Raise your hand if you hate Hallmark. Okay, I appreciate it. I never. You don't usually see women that raise their hand. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Any other? Who loves Hallmark movies? Raise your hand. Just be honest. Come on. Come on. Be honest. Come on. It's okay. If you have a problem with that, talk to Pastor Shipe about it. Anyway, I'm just kidding. The reason why I say that is because we want a movie with a good ending. Every Hallmark movie has a good ending, don't they? They have a good ending. And that's what we want. It's the reason why I say this is because don't be like the movies that end with the credits and then just nothing happened at the end. Be the movie that ends with a good ending. I'm so thankful the passage here doesn't give us where it gives us a bad ending. Imagine if it stopped at verse 33 where it says he had compassion on him. Look at verse 34 as we close. We're just about to close. Look at what it says in verse 34. He gave us a plan here. Okay? Gave us a plan. It says, and went to him. That's the first step of the plan. They say if you don't do something within the first 48 hours of caring about an issue, then you probably won't do anything. So between now and Tuesday, will you do something? Will you get involved? Text them, message them, call them, start praying about it. Start asking God, God, guide me to somebody I can reach. What can I do? How can I be involved? Make a prayer list. Do something about the issue between now and Tuesday. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. Look what he did there. He used his own resources to help him heal. He gave him transportation. He gave him lodging. He took care of some of his basic needs. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. You know, Jesus is telling us here, go and do something. And that's what we're saying here with reacting with a plan. You know, pray about and ask God, God, how can I make a plan about this? What can I do with my resources and the time I have on this earth to help with this issue? If you want me to, will you guide me to who I'm supposed to help? Just make a plan with God. I'm not telling you to go broke through this or to spend all your time on it. I'm just saying, will you take what you can and what God wants you to do? I would not be standing in front of you this morning if it wasn't for the people that invested in my life from my local church. My grandparents filled the gap for a long time, but my local church is where I got a lot of the people that invested in my life. It was not some formal program. It was a guy that liked to go hunting. It was another guy that his family, they just kind of had an open door policy and I could show up at their house. Another couple, I started working for them at their house. Even to this day, that couple is like my second family. Jim's on our board for our ministry because they took time to invest in a kid like me. Will you do that for somebody else? I'm not here to make you feel bad for me. God worked in my life, but there's millions of other kids out there that need some hope. Will you be part of that? Will you reject apathy? Will you let compassion flow through you? And will you react with a plan? Will you do something? Will you be involved in their life and help them along the way? It says here, Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Somebody probably helped you. Will you pay it forward? Will you do something for them this morning? Would everybody please bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Would you stand with me for a moment? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Stand with me for a moment of invitation. I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Shipe in just a second. But I just want to pray for you just real quick as we turn the service over. If you're here this morning, you'll say, Sean, I know for sure if I die today that I'm going to go to heaven. Would you raise your hand this morning? I know for sure if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I see your hands. You can put them down. Amen. You put them down. Please bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody looking around just for the privacy of others. Question for you this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, Sean, I've never trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I don't even know where I would go if I died today. Would you raise your hand this morning? Is there anybody at all? I've never been saved before. I've never trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I've been relying on religion. I've been relying on just my works. Okay, if that's you, I don't see any hands. If that's you, I want to encourage you to talk to Pastor Shipe after. Make that sure. That's the most important decision you can ever make with your life. And don't be ashamed if you're older. You can make that decision today. Don't go without knowing for sure that you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior. The last two questions I want to ask you this morning. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Sean, I'm from a fatherless family. I'm a single mom. I'm a grandparent raising grandkids. I'm from a motherless family. I'm a single dad. Whatever it might be, would you raise your hand this morning? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hands? Or anybody at all? I see your hand there. Anybody else? I'm a single mom. I'm a fatherless individual. I just want to pray for you this morning. Okay. I saw one hand, but if there's anybody else, just would you raise your hand this morning? I just want to pray for you. Okay. I see your hand there. Thank you. Last question I want to ask you. If you're in here this morning and say, Sean, I'm willing to be involved. This is not a commitment to me or a commitment to God, but I'm willing to be involved. I just want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand this morning? I'm willing to be part of the solution. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. Thank you. I see your hands. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I'm willing to be involved, willing to be part of the solution. Would you raise your hand this morning? I'm willing to be helped. I see your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to come here this morning. I pray that you please just be with the individuals that raised their hands and said, I'm willing to be involved. I'm willing to help with the issue of fatherlessness or the hurting people around me. I pray that you'd help them and encourage them and give them wisdom, give them guidance, to direct them to the people that they need to help. Please encourage them and allow them to be involved in those people's lives. Help them to do something between now and Tuesday. God, I pray that you please be with the individuals that raise their hands, since I grew up fatherless. I pray that you'd help them and work through the situations that they're dealing with in their life, maybe even to this day. I pray that you please help any kids or any grandparents raising grandkids or any kids that are going through this issue here or single moms, whatever it might be, just help them through the issues they face. Help this church to be a lighthouse for you with this issue in this community. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Help us to serve you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.